This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Questioning the timing of the Comey firing. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Thursday, May 11. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
What was the final reason for the termination of FBI Director James Comey? One report suggests he wanted more money for his Russia probe. Another suggests he was on TV too much.
On a related note, the Senate Intelligence Committee has issued subpoenas for documents from former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn.
Another of the nation's biggest insurance companies is pulling out of Obamacare exchanges, citing the inability to make money.
And why are dads not taking paid paternity leave when more companies are providing it?
They're seeing, you know, the typical go from about 4 weeks in 2015 to closer to 11 weeks in 2017. And many of the best companies are even more generous than that.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on a trendy perk that some managers discourage their employees from taking. She's here in about 20 minutes. In the weeks before President Trump fired FBI Director James Comey, a federal investigation into potential collusion between Trump associates and the Russian government was heating up, apparently. Beginning 3 weeks ago, the Wall Street Journal says Mr. Comey started receiving daily updates in the investigation instead of weekly updates. As you know, he was dismissed this week. In response, White House Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Sanders yesterday said Mr. Trump had been considering getting rid of Mr. Comey for months and that the dismissal this week wasn't connected to the Russian probe, just Mr. Comey not doing a good job.
He had essentially taken a stick of dynamite and thrown it into the Department of Justice by going around the chain of command when he decided to take steps without talking to the attorney general or the deputy attorney general when holding a press conference and telling them that he would not let them know what he was going to say.
With his concerns mounting, Mr. Comey last week asked Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein for more personnel for the investigation, which began last July. A Justice Department spokesman denied this. On Monday, Mr. Comey briefed lawmakers on his request to boost the investigation. Tuesday, he was fired. Another moving part in all of this, a congressional investigation into Russian meddling in the election moved forward as the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday issued a subpoena for the president's former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn to produce documents relevant to the investigation. The panel said it issued the subpoena after an earlier attempt to obtain information from Mr. Flynn voluntarily was unsuccessful. Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina is among those not in favor of an independent investigator.
To suggest that I'm before a special prosecutor would say I don't think I can do my job, which is to lead an investigation. So I'm not in favor of a special prosecutor because I think that the committee can carry out its responsibility, can come to a conclusion.
Also, as part of this, multiple reports say a federal grand jury in Northern Virginia has issued subpoenas for records tied to Mr. Flynn. During the presidential transition, Mr. Flynn and the Russian ambassador reportedly discussed the possibility of lifting U.S. sanctions on Russia in a future Trump administration. Mr. Flynn also was paid tens of thousands of dollars for speeches by three Russian companies, something he failed to disclose. So what about an independent prosecutor? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? Would he have fired Mr. Comey sooner? Who is his choice to be the new FBI director? Questions put to Indiana Republican freshman Congressman Jim Banks. Jim, timing suspicious given he was leading this Russia investigation.
I agree. The timing is suspicious, and the president must do a better job to address this to the American people and explain why now, in the midst of the subpoenas that were issued in the last day or two related to the Russian investigation. So I too call on the president to do a better job and explain to members of Congress and the American people of why the timing was yesterday the way that it was. But I do think this is a opportunity for the president to appoint a new FBI director who has good judgment, who is not who is nonpartisan in the way that he pursues the duties of this important office and can restore the trust of the American people in the FBI and the important work that they do.
We're speaking with Indiana Congressman Jim Banks about the firing of FBI Director James Comey. Had you lost confidence in Mr. Comey as well?
I had. As a Republican, watching the activities of the election cycle last year left me dumbfounded at times and startled that Mr. Comey truly, it appeared to me, lacked judgment in the way that he handled the activities that occurred in the late moments of the election between President Trump and Hillary Clinton. Fast forward to the last 4 months, this is Mr. Comey, as far as I was concerned, had shown a number of moments where he lacked judgment, and whether it was his testimony earlier this week or other activities along the way that left me startled that we have someone running an agency that lacked the good judgment to do so. So I do think that the president, more than anything else, needs to address the American people and explain what led to the timing of his decision. I think that would be a healthy thing for him to do to show leadership in the moment to clear up any misunderstandings or to address the timing, which I do find to be suspicious.
Yeah. Hypothetically, if you had been in charge, would you have gotten rid of Mr. Comey sooner?
I think there was good reason to do so upon the president's election and his authority to do so. I think he could have done that at the outset of his administration. To his credit, it is a 10-year term, and Mr. Comey had more years to serve in his term as FBI director. Maybe the president was felt that he should allow him to fill out his term, but the issues have stacked up along the way to give the president a good justification to let Mr. Comey go. I think there's a lot of room here to be critical of the president's timing and his decision to fire Mr. Comey at this moment, but also be to also recognize that Mr. Comey has failed and lost the trust of the American people at the same time. I think there's a lot of room to understand both positions and to understand and take that position.
Finish up with potential replacements. I know you mentioned South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy, the president of Anderson University. Would those be your top two, or do you have like a top three or five?
Hey, you know, it's hard to say how the president will base some of these decisions. And those are a couple of names that I've already read and believe both of them would fill the position quite well. But we need someone who is nonpartisan, has good judgment, and understands that the significance of the role of being ahead of such an important and powerful federal government agency to restore trust to the FBI. And I think both of those individuals could do that. But there are a lot of other names that are rising to the list as well that could do so too.
I thought I heard a talking head on TV say something about morale was bad at the FBI. Is that the sense that you have, and another reason why a new leader is needed?
There's no question that bad morale due to a number of these highly political decisions by Mr. Comey over the past year has led to that, and new leadership in this moment could be very healthy to repair morale and also rebuild the American trust in the FBI. That's important that we see that happen and move forward.
Thanks, Jim. Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. 14 minutes now after the hour. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Glad you're with us. Another blow for Obamacare. The big insurance company Aetna said it will pull out of the Affordable Care Act exchanges in Delaware and Nebraska next year, confirming that the insurer will exit all of the marketplaces where it currently sells plans. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Earlier, Aetna announced it was leaving the exchanges in Iowa and Virginia, its other two current marketplace states. The company said its individual plans are projected to lose more than $200 million this year and blames, quote, structural issues that have led to co-op failures and carrier exits and subsequent risk pool deterioration. Other large publicly traded insurers, including Anthem, Cigna, and Molina Healthcare, have said they are also considering pulling back from the exchange business but haven't yet made final decisions. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, congressional sources say FBI Director James Comey, days before President Trump fired him, told lawmakers he needed more resources for his agency's probe into possible collusion between Trump's presidential campaign and Russia. And with a Republican president facing a storm of criticism from many Democratic lawmakers and some in his own party, the Trump administration accused Comey of atrocities on the job and denied his firing was related to the FBI's Russia investigation. Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
He had essentially taken a stick of dynamite and thrown it into the Department of Justice by going around the chain of command when he decided to take steps without talking to the Attorney General or the Deputy Attorney General when holding a press conference and telling them that he would not let them know what he was going to say.
Trump lashed out at critics, calling Democrats phony hypocrites. Meanwhile, Comey has been invited to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee next Tuesday. The testimony would be given in a closed session without cameras, but is not known yet whether Comey has accepted the invitation. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos vowed support for the students at a historically black university at the graduation ceremony yesterday, but was nearly drowned out by booing and shouts of liar.
Brave sight. I am moved by words in her last will and testament.
Many students at Bethune-Cookman turned their backs to DeVos in protest. DeVos alienated many African Americans in February when she described historically black colleges as real pioneers when it comes to school choice. After a storm of criticism, she acknowledged that these colleges were born not out of mere choice, but out of necessity in the face of racism. Sean Diddy Combs maintains the top spot on Forbes' list of richest people in hip-hop, but Jay-Z is nipping at his heels. Combs has a net worth of $820 million, while Beyoncé's husband vaults into second place with $810 million, a 30% increase from 2016. Dr. Dre fell to number three with $740 million, thanks mostly to his share of the sale of Beats to Apple in 2014 and some savvy investments.
Dre's got to pick it up. How's he going to pay the rent with only $740 million in his bank account?
If he can sell something else to somebody.
22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Here's a sensitive subject for the office. Paid paternity leave for dads. Leave policies for new dads are becoming more generous, but you're still among the lucky few if your company offers one, along with a workplace culture that encourages you to take it. Here's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what do we have?
The good news on that front is that they're seeing, you know, the typical go from about 4 weeks in 2015 to closer to 11 weeks in 2017. And many of the best companies are even more generous than that.
Wow, we're talking about for dads?
Yep, for dads.
Wow.
So that's, you know, usually the conversation is around perks for new moms, which, you know, are still lackluster in a lot of ways. But this report is looking at what the dads get.
Wow. So who are some of these trailblazing companies offering this?
Well, some of the big ones, you know, their names that you know would be ones like Facebook, for example, very well-known, Netflix, Etsy, American Express, Spotify, a lot of tech companies, obviously, and a lot of finance companies, too, in the list.
Wow. Okay. So behind all this, I guess before we get into it, is just employee retention, trying to keep those top performers and avoid rollover or turnover?
Yes, usually. I mean, this is it's a good recruiting tool. It's a way to keep employees happy. But, of course, there tends to be a lot of catches going into this behind the scenes. I mean, the big one being, of course, you know, it's great if you work for these companies, but most dads around the country still don't have any access to paid leave.
Yeah. All right. So for those that do here and they're still leaving it on the table, I guess, how come?
That's what we keep hearing, and you know, there have been a couple of researchers that take a look at this, and they just find that in a lot of cases, the culture at companies, either overtly or behind the scenes, is really that they're discouraging you from taking any sort of paid leave, and that might be, you just hear it in conversations with managers, or the policy is such that they make it difficult to qualify.
Oh wow! Well, you have to qualify. How would you have to qualify? I had a baby. I need time off.
The interesting one of the folks that I had talked to on this, he actually ended up having to take legal action against his company a few years ago because there were some perks if you were obviously a mom giving birth or if you were adopting a child or having a child through surrogacy for either gender, but then there was nothing for new dads. So he was able to get them to shift that policy a little bit.
Wow. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com, and her piece is called "While Paid Leave Increases for Dads, Many Don't Take It." All right, so go back to a point I think you had started to make before, and that's while some companies have very generous programs of paid paternity leave for dads, not all are taking it, and some of that reason is because managers are saying, yes, we have a generous program, however, I need you here. We don't want you to take it all.
Exactly. They're not supposed to be doing that, but it's hard to be the person who's taking all the leave that you're entitled to when you don't see that example in the workplace. So that's a lot of the advocates that are out there in this space really are just encouraging men to speak up, get a policy that works for them. But then also, if you have leave available to you, then you should be taking it and helping to change that example so that it's a little more acceptable for everyone to be able to take this paid time off.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Ready for hundreds of millions of potential new customers? Come to a two-day conference in Detroit in June to hear about Alibaba, the Chinese version of what's described as Amazon plus Google. Today, China represents an unprecedented opportunity for American business owners and entrepreneurs. Alibaba, an e-commerce platform, can connect you with 500 million consumers. You can buy and sell anything. Learn more about the worldwide marketplace of Alibaba at Gateway 17, June 20th to the 22nd. Meet experts, make relationships, and learn from companies already in China. You'll also hear Jack Ma, the ultimate entrepreneur and China expert. Gateway 17 has limited availability, but our listeners can save 50% off the registration fee by going to gateway17.com and using the code DEAL when you register. That's gateway17.com, GATEWAY17.com, and enter DEAL. 50% off the registration fee, but only if you use DEAL when you sign up at gateway17.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com. Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 11. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Subpoenas issued for Mike Flynn documents. Trump meets with Russia's foreign minister and ambassador. Homeland Security wants to ban laptops on flights from Europe to the U.S. First earnings report for the parent company of Snapchat sent the stock into a nosedive in after-hours trading. Education Secretary booed during commencement remarks at Bethune-Cookman. The Yankees retired Derek Jeter's number two this weekend, never to be worn again, and the school bus driver being called a hero in South Carolina. That story in about 20 minutes. Still trying to get a better handle on what ultimately led to President Trump firing FBI Director James Comey. In remarks yesterday, Mr. Trump said simply that Mr. Comey was not doing a good job. The Wall Street Journal says the White House was rankled by the media attention and is also reporting that just before his termination, Mr. Comey asked for more funding for the Russia investigation. Here's Wall Street Journal White House reporter Rebecca Ballhouse. Rebecca, you say the White House didn't like that Mr. Comey was getting so much TV attention?
I think that's something that we've seen, frankly, with a lot of the president's aides, that the minute their star kind of starts to rise, he seems to get frustrated by it. I think he seems to like the spotlight for himself. Yeah. We saw that with Steve Bannon a little bit earlier this year, who has kept a much lower profile since then. And now we see that Comey, who was frequently testifying before Senate panels and, TV would air those interviews all day long, and there was, of course, a lot of scrutiny on them, it seemed like he was getting frustrated by the celebrity associated his FBI director.
What else jumped out of here as you were kind of pulling this all together?
So I think the other interesting thread that we saw was that there was a growing frustration among the president's associates that Comey, in these Senate testimonies that he was giving, wouldn't publicly tamp down questions about possible collusion with Russian interference in the 2016 campaign. And we had some people tell us that some of the president's associates just wanted him to say those three little words, there's no ties.
And yet he did go out of his way in the letter to sort of say, what, I appreciate you pointing out that I'm not personally connected or something like that?
Right. That was an interesting move and one that the White House spokeswoman today declined to really talk about in the briefing. But you're right. He made this point of thanking Comey for informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation. That is not something that's been disclosed, and that would raise, if it's true, all kinds of questions about why Comey would have been briefing the president on details of an ongoing investigation, why it's okay for the president to make public those details of an ongoing investigation, and a host of other issues. So that's not something that we've gotten clarity on yet from the White House.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal White House reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Her piece is called Before James Comey's Dismissal, A Growing Frustration at the White House. Was there a straw that broke the camel's back?
I think if there was anything along those lines, it seemed to be the mistake that Comey made in his testimony last week when he overstated the number of emails that Clinton aide Huma Abedin forwarded to her husband's computer. As you might remember, in the final weeks of the campaign, it was emails found on the husband's computer, Anthony Weiner's computer, that caused the FBI to, in dramatic fashion, announce that it was reopening this probe into Hillary Clinton's emails before then closing it again 2 days before the election. And in his testimony last week, he said that Ms. Abedin had forwarded, I think, hundreds and thousands of emails, when in fact, as the FBI clarified in a letter, that it was just two email exchanges that she forwarded.
Mm. How about this report now from your colleague, Christina Peterson, that Mr. Comey had asked for more funding for the FBI's Russia probe? You think now that played a role, or is that coincidence?
Well, I mean, I think that's what we're trying to figure out. That if this bears out, it seems like Comey approached specifically Rod Rosenstein, who ended up writing the recommendation that Comey be fired, and said he needed more resources for the agency's investigation. It's unclear, I think, exactly when that request was made, and the White House said in its briefing that that Rosenstein, the deputy AG, approached the president on Monday to express these concerns, and that the president subsequently asked him to put those concerns into writing, resulting in the letter that was sent recommending that Comey be fired. So I think we don't have that timeline nailed down yet, but of course it would raise all kinds of questions if the Deputy Attorney General, after hearing that the FBI wanted more resources for a probe into the president's associates' ties to Russia, subsequently recommended he be fired.
Wall Street Journal White House reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. By the way, the Wall Street Journal editorial says for many reasons, the paper advised Mr. Trump to sack Mr. Comey immediately upon taking office. It says the president will now pay a larger political price for waiting as critics question the timing of his action amid the FBI's probe of his campaign's alleged Russia ties. The journal says Democrats are already portraying Mr. Comey as a liberal martyr, though last October they accused him of partisan betrayal. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's something we're all likely going to have to start to getting used to hearing about: drone collisions. This is an unlucky cyclist in a California race ended up flipping over his handlebars when his front tire collided with a wayward drone. A video uploaded to YouTube by another racer shows what happened when a drone struck a tree and fell directly into the path of a cyclist participating in the race. The rider's front tire hits the drone, causing him to flip over his handlebars.
Yikes.
The man suffered some road rash and damage to his helmet, but no broken bones, thankfully. The drone's operator reportedly has offered to pay to replace the rider's helmet and front wheel, which was also damaged in the crash. The video, by the way, has been viewed nearly 400,000 times on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's hard to see. You got to watch it a couple of times, but you see this drone, you know, basically fall out of a tree,
okay,
and kind of right in front of the rider's path, and he manages to ride, you know, probably 50 feet with, I guess, the drone maybe kind of spinning around in his spokes or something, and then flips over.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So how big was it?
Yeah, I mean, it looks, you know, I don't know, the size of a, you know, small plate or something. I mean,
okay.
It wasn't, you know, super, wasn't super big.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a scary thing, and again, something as the first of all, again, you know, flying the drone close to the race, not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, not an experienced, perhaps, drone operator, and you know, just a bad situation all around. But again, these things are everywhere now, so more stuff's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think
the cyclist is lucky. I mean, you go over the handlebars.
Yeah.
That is a recipe for broken collarbone.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. So the fact that he had no broken bones is pretty amazing, because it's a pretty horrific-looking crash.
Wow, okay.
And a South Carolina home for sale on Zillow is drawing attention for an unusual warning, which states, don't bother asking about the occupant living upstairs. The listing for the home states the buyer will assume responsibility for the mystery tenant upstairs who does not pay any rent. The posting, which asks $130,000 for the house, drew attention on Twitter, with some speculating on the nature of the mysterious tenant and branding the home a nightmare house. The only clue as to the tenant situation comes from a previous rental listing for the home, which states that the upstairs apartment is, quote, occupied by professional artist.
Whoa.
So I don't know, like I might be a shut-in type, perhaps. But
that's
again,
weird.
Doesn't pay any rent, and they're the current owner's not kicking him out, and he just gets to hang there.
And this is not a ghost.
I mean, yeah,
we think this is an actual human being.
As far
who's
as
there?
We know, no ghost, no monster, no, you know, sloth-like creature from the Goonies or anything like that. As
wow.
far as we know, it is a human being. Just that you can't do anything about.
You must take this tenant with you.
He's yours.
Wow.
We're gonna wash our hands of the situation and head on out.
All right. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now. In front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Time for a small business report, and it's brought to you by Staples. When it's time for new tech, go to Staples. Purchase a new PC or printer at Staples and receive 30 days of tech support for free. Exclusions apply. See store or Staples.com for details. Staples, it's pro time. Reducing the business tax rate is far more important to entrepreneurs than eliminating the estate tax or other proposed tax law changes. 3/4 of entrepreneurs said cutting the maximum tax rate to 15% for businesses is the most important part of the tax plan recently outlined by the Trump administration. That's according to a survey of nearly 750 small business owners for the Wall Street Journal by Vistage Worldwide, which provides peer mentoring to small business executives. Overall, by the way, small business confidence levels dipped slightly in May, though they remain above pre-election levels. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders, says President Trump had been considering firing former FBI Director James Comey since he was elected. Sanders says there had been an erosion of confidence in Comey over the last year and that he was removed for his handling of the Hillary Clinton email inquiry. But Democrats like Congressman Adam Schiff of California aren't buying it.
I was shocked, like everyone else, that the president would fire Director Comey so abruptly, particularly given that this recommendation came from the Attorney General, someone who was supposed to have recused himself from any decision-making on the Russia investigation.
The Senate Intelligence Committee has invited Comey to testify next week. No word on whether he has accepted. House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz has asked Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz to expand the scope of its ongoing review into how the FBI handled the events surrounding the election to include the firing of Comey. Inspectors General are supposed to be independent watchdogs who ferret out waste, fraud, and abuse in their own agencies. Congressional Republicans and Democrats have reached agreement on a bill bill to make it easier for the Department of Veterans Affairs to fire its employees, part of an accountability effort touted by President Trump. The deal could smooth the way for final passage on an issue that had been largely stalled since the 2014 wait time scandal at the Phoenix VA Medical Center. The controversial Dakota Access Pipeline, which Donald Trump pushed through upon taking the presidency, leaked about 200 miles south of where the well-reported Standing Rock protests were located. A tank inside the pump station in the small rural town of Tulare, South Dakota, leaked about 84 gallons. If you're a worrier, here's some good news. Psychologists say worry can play an important role in life, and it doesn't have to be destructive. A University of California professor says some fretting can encourage behaviors that lead to better health, more success, and greater well-being. For example, if you worry about a car accident, you'll wear your seatbelt. If you worry about skin cancer, you'll wear sunscreen. It also makes you prepare. If you fret about a job interview, you'll spend more time preparing for it.
Okay. I can buy that a little bit.
Everything in moderation.
That's right. Can't go over the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. As soon as school bus driver Teresa Strobel from Duncan, South Carolina, heard two ninth graders yell about seeing smoke, she jumped into action. Ms. Strobel ushered all 56 students from Duncan Elementary, Beach Springs Intermediate, and Burns High School off her bus and radioed the transportation office to call 911 before the vehicle burst into flames Tuesday morning. The Spartanburg School District is calling the 7-year veteran driver a true hero. Firefighters arrived on the scene minutes later to contain the fire. Superintendent Scott Turner told CBS television affiliate WSPA that she did exactly what she was trained to do. She was calm, she kept the students calm, and she made sure they were safe. They were her first priority. Officials from the South Carolina Department of Education were working with local fire officials to determine the cause. The deputy fire chief there told local TV they're looking in the passenger area of the bus where there is a heater mounted under a seat. How about that? 56 students off the bus in probably less than a minute. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.